Our second New Testament lesson today comes from the book of Acts. It's chapter 10, and it's rather a long build-up to this story. Our lectionary text for this baptism of the Lord Sunday kind of drops us in at the end. But suffice to say, this is about Peter, the disciple Peter, the one whom Jesus would call the rock of the church. And Peter has journeyed into the region of Caesarea. If you even look at the root of that word, the root is Caesar. So it's the Roman part of the sort of Israel area. He's journeyed into the region of Caesarea, and he's gone to the house of a man named Cornelius, another Latin name, who is called a cohort of the Roman centurion. And so Jesus is very much outside of, is very much outside of the normal circles in which he goes. So if you were in a foreign person's house and in a foreign empire city, what would you do? What would you say? How is it that you'd present the gospel? Well, Acts chapter 10 gives us an insight into how Peter attempted to accomplish this. So here's Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse 34. Then Peter began to speak to them, and he said, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears God and does what is right is acceptable to God. You know the message God sent the people Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Jesus. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and Jerusalem. And they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed Jesus to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God to be witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. And all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Now, while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So Peter ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they invited Peter to stay for several days. This wonderful, remarkable little story from the book of Acts comes to us from the 10th chapter, and along with what we heard from Matthew's gospel is, by the Holy Spirit, the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I want us to think back a little bit this morning. Think back to a time in our lives, and for some of us, this might be more recent than for others, admittedly, but think back to a time of our lives when we finally passed the exam, when we finally crossed the finish line, when we finally made the team, mastered the piano piece, the violin solo, whatever it is, whatever it was something that you had practiced at, worked hard at, and devoted your time and talents toward. Can you think of a time when you finally made the grade, achieved the thing that you had been longing to achieve, crossed the finish line in the race that you had trained so hard for? Oh, sure thing. Maybe a time or two before you got there, before you got to the end of the journey, you made some mistakes. You came up short a time or two along the way. But the point is you worked and you worked, and you finally made the mark, and the teacher or the coach patted you on the back and gave you the A. Yeah. If that's ever happened to you, and I suspect it's happened at least once or twice for most of us, then let's acknowledge that that is a really good feeling. It comes with relief and the good kind of pride, right? There's bad pride in the world, but there's also good pride. And when you finally get there, it comes with relief and the good kind of pride. And it can confirm this achievement, this making of the mark can confirm all the months or years of hard work that you put in before it. Now, why do I make mention of that today? I make mention of that today because it takes Peter, God bless him, all the way through Acts chapter 10 to finally get it right. It takes him a really long time. Yes, he's got dozens of chapters in Luke, dozens in Matthew, dozens in Mark, never quite gets it right. But finally, by the time we reach the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, Peter has gotten it correct. Remember, this is Peter. What did Peter do? He denied Jesus three times on the night of Jesus' arrest. He misinterprets one of the great moments in the life of Jesus called the Transfiguration. He misinterprets it entirely, and he wants to keep Jesus safe on top of the mountain and away from the danger on the ground. Keep Jesus secured away someplace far off instead of letting him go out among the people. That's unimaginable, but that was Peter's first idea. Peter literally loses his faith while walking on the water towards Jesus. Peter hides with the other disciples after Jesus was crucified. Yeah, in all four of the Gospels, especially the three synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Peter's journey is one of best, at best, of fits and starts. It's got a lot of mistakes, and he gets a whole lot of do-overs. Now, first off, in that way, Peter's a lot like us. Yeah, he is. Much of the time, I think Peter is giving us a reassurance through his example that Jesus loves us in spite of our bobbles and our fumbles. And that's good news for me, at least. Much of the time, too, Peter reminds us that Jesus gives second chances. And I say thanks be to God for that. I do. Even when Peter was ready to quit on Jesus, Jesus doesn't ever give up on him. But here, in Acts 10, Peter gets a chance to preach and to share the gospel in the Roman city of Caesarea, in the home of a Roman named Cornelius. And what does he do? He nails it. He nails it. In my opinion, some may disagree, this is Peter's shining moment. It's his final four buzzer-beating moment. It's his high point in the New Testament. For he has learned the lesson. He's learned the reading, writing, and arithmetic of the gospel. He's understood, finally, Jesus' stories and his purpose. And he finally executes and delivers on the very promise that Jesus saw in him in the first place. What did Peter say? Well, it's worth repeating, and it is worth remembering. Peter says, "I truly understand that God sows no partiality." He says that the message is that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. That message spread after the baptism of John the Baptist, that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit and power and did good and healed people because God was with him. Peter reminds them that they put Jesus to death by hanging him on a tree, that is the cross, but that God raised him on the third day. And then Peter says he commanded us to teach and preach and testify that he was ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. That's what Peter says. And the preaching is so good that Acts says the Holy Spirit fell upon all, the Jews and the Gentiles alike, the insiders and the outsiders alike. Everyone who heard it received God's ultimate blessing. Then what does Peter do? He has everyone baptized, regardless of their heritage or their status. Remember, Peter had learned, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, for in every nation there are people who fear God and do what is right and acceptable." Remember that fear in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, does not mean horror or terror. It doesn't mean like a jump scare in a movie. No, fear means trust and respect here. And know that acceptable here means that Jesus welcomes them and welcomes all of us into his baptism, into his life, into his ministry, at this, his table, and ultimately into his twin promises of forgiveness and salvation. Now, before we move on too quickly to the Lord's Supper this morning, we should note that in verse 42, Peter uses the phrase, quote, "Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify," end quote. Yeah, it reminds us that the commandments of Jesus are also a huge part of the gospel. Why else would Peter mention them? You see, the whole of the gospel requires us to follow both the commandments of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus and the example of Jesus in all that we have and all that we are. We are baptized, my friends, into the conclusion of a story, but into the beginning of one. And being baptized like Jesus was long ago, which we remember today on this baptism of the Lord Sunday, it becomes an invitation to testify to his name, to give to him our fullest hearts, and to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, help the cold, free those who are captive to sin, love one another, love our neighbors as ourselves, to trust God more than money, power, or fame. Indeed, following in the footsteps of Jesus, following his commands means that we follow even when it makes us uncomfortable, uneasy, or unsure. The arithmetic of the gospel is clear. We are baptized into Christ and forgiven in his name in order to follow him and do our part for the healing of our communities and our world. So no, Jesus is not giving his commandments as lip service. He's not teaching us what he taught us so that we'd forget it as soon as we get in our car to head home this morning. No, instead, he gives us all these teachings. He gives us this example. He gives us all of these commandments with the expectation that we will actually try to do them, that we will actually try to live them, that we'll actually try to share in their abundance. And the people that inspire us, like the Billy Grahams, the Martin Luther Kings, the Mother Teresas, the Dorothy Days, why do you think they're so inspiring? It's not like they went out and invented the story on their own. They didn't get a patent on any of this. They simply did their best to follow those commandments and walk in the footsteps of Christ. And here's the thing. There are also millions of people around us who do exactly those kind of things that made those folks famous, but do them quietly day to day in acts of ministry, which are both simple and profound at the same time. Next Sunday is Step Up Sunday, which we'll hear testimony from our partners at Step Up and our volunteers. And you can hear people next week talk about how they have been transformed through following Jesus to help somebody else be transformed. But it doesn't work if you don't follow where Jesus says to go. Why do they do it? Whether it's the famous people or the quiet servants, or whether it's the Step Up folks or whomever you can think of, it's all in response to Jesus' great commandment in the Gospel of John that you shall love one another, he says. This is my commandment, he says, that you love one another as I have loved you. Yes, friends, we too often think that baptism is the end of the journey. That as Jesus was baptized and as he commanded us to baptize and teach the faith to everywhere in the world, even as Peter himself was baptized at some point, we sometimes think that baptism, the sacrament of baptism, which is really, really important, is the end all be all of our Christian faith. And while it is important, we should all of us note that baptism is not the end of the journey. It is the beginning. Remember when Jesus was baptized? You can look in your bulletin. It's pretty early in the Gospel of Matthew, isn't it? I think it's in chapter 3. There's 28 chapters to Matthew. So it's the beginning of his story, really. It's the beginning in this first handful of verses. It was also the beginning for Peter. At some point, Jesus baptized Peter or had him baptized. And here he is in Acts 10. Long after the day of Pentecost, long after the ascension of Jesus, and he's still preaching, he's still teaching, and he's still baptizing. Why? Because of the commandment. Go, make disciples of all nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Just as baptism was the beginning for Jesus on his baptism of the Lord day long ago, it is the beginning for us. Not the culmination of the life of faith, but instead the starting point for our life of faith. So today we do remember that baptism is a sacrament. Today we remember that Jesus is baptism. Today we might, can, and should also remember our own. If you were like me, baptized in 1972, there's a little faded picture at my parents' house that Sometimes I get my mom to remind me that she still has it, so that I can remember my own, that I can remember our own. Today we get the chance to remember that our baptisms are themselves an invitation to the life of faith, and that means an invitation to follow Jesus and all of his commands. So, let's pay attention. Let's follow in Christ's footsteps, and let's remember the beautiful things that he said. Like when the Good Samaritan stops and helps someone else and is neighborly, when the man is hurt and he's got no one in the world to help him, and the guy says, "What should I do about that, Jesus?" And Jesus says, "You go and do likewise." He doesn't say, "This is my commandment," before it, but it's in the imperative tense, the tense of command. Go and do likewise. That means pray for the world, friends. That means serve our neighbors, friends. That means give thanks for Jesus, friends. And it means following his commandments. God loved Peter. He finally gets it right in Acts chapter 10. He does, brothers and sisters. And I hope and pray that we all will too. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we offer these many things as we think about word and sacrament, as we think about this font of baptism, and this, the table of the Lord. Amen. Our friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord, that in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you would be blessed to be a blessing. And remember, the way to share God's love with the greater world around us is in following in the footsteps and the commands of the Lord, who came to give his life for the sins of the world. In his holy name, friends, be blessed until we meet again. Amen.